Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Here are the Today's Issues program, Tim with Tony and Ray, and we thank you for listening. And joining us now is Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, doing okay, Steve?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
I've got something to add to last hour. I think it's going to be very important. I think that will help solve some of the problems you guys were having. I figured out, or I looked up, how to make peanut butter.
Okay, yeah.
So this is important. The discussion you had last hour. So basically, you take peanuts.
Okay.
You put them in a food processor. You grind them up.
Taking the notes.
And they become peanut butter.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm not sure. I think I missed a step or two there.
What? Food processor. Peanut butter.
No, now come on.
At some point, you could add like honey or molasses if you want to make them sweeter. And
did you Google this? Is that where you got this?
I did. Okay. You can add oil if you want to make it a little creamier and everything. But basically, peanut butter is peanuts.
Well, we're getting a cease and desist from Alex right now.
That's right. We're going to be sued right here.
There's got to be more to it than that. How does it get oily in?
Peanuts contain that oil.
Okay.
It's kind of locked in there, and that's you keep doing it. Eventually, it unlocks that oil, and it
starts to thicken, I guess, and turn into the
consistency
that we know.
So the all important question then is, the differentiation, Steve, must be in the peanuts themselves.
It would have to be in the peanuts, and perhaps some. I mean, there could be additives, the flavor additives, like. You use the right peanut oil if you're going to add oil to the mixture.
Just so much there to explore.
Okay, you're saying if I got 5 gallons, is that right, or 5 pounds of peanuts?
Pounds of peanuts.
Okay, and then chop them up or, pureed them? What's the right word? Food process them,
process
right?
Process them, yeah.
Okay, then the goop at the bottom would be peanut butter.
No, everything would eventually be peanut butter.
Okay.
I'm seeing a new Food Channel show right there.
I think we can do it.
The peanut butter wars.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So, Allison, my wife and I, I'm gonna lose my man card on this one.
Here we go.
But we've been watching a little
the war that sticks to the roof of your mouth.
What's that? We've been watching a little bit of the...
Have you been watching the Food Channel?
Yeah. Do you know where I'm going with this? It's the holiday.
Oh, I love those holiday baking
shows.
Okay, there
you go.
I love them.
Okay, then I'm not a wimp.
No, you're not.
No, it just
not.
Means Ray has to hand his over also.
That's right. That's right. Both of us.
We've been watching a little bit of this food challenge, holiday food challenge cook-offs or whatever.
Yeah. The
championships.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. Pretty cool. But by the time you get through watching an episode, you feel like you put on about 3,000 calories.
I know.
Just from watching it on TV.
Not a lot of fat-free, low-calorie desserts
They don't do that kind of, right?
Oh, no. We're talking about really elaborate gingerbread houses and your cookies and the tarts, right?
More butter and more sugar, the better it is.
That's right.
So anyway, I always joke with my wife because she likes butter in the cooking.
Tim, do you ever watch those shows and say to yourself, I could do that. Alice and I should go on this.
I'm going to try it one day. Try to do some of that. I don't know.
Put an AFR team up there.
Bring it up to the office. Tell everybody.
I made this.
Tell everybody who made it. It would go real quick.
They would only eat it if I sat there and watched them.
That's right.
This is so good.
But anyway, they do have some interesting shows on there, especially this time of year. Talking about the Food Channel. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. So I get to keep my man card.
Yeah, you can keep it.
You're good.
Thank you. Thank you.
They've already taken mine. Somebody just came in and took mine right
in front of you.
Yeah, right in front of me.
These days, we need
of course, I switch it over to football pretty quick.
Though. That's right.
These days, we need as many people to keep their main card as possible.
That's right. All right, Steve.
Hey.
What do you got?
Let's just start with a little nice piece of, let's call it political irony. So there is a law that President Trump is using to justify or to be able to blow these drug boats out of the water from Venezuela.
Like Miami Vice.
Just like that. And it's called the Maritime Drug Law Enforcement Act of 1986.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I was in favor of that.
Yeah. It basically allows.
I remember you weighing in, and it was very controversial.
I took a stand.
Look, I'm convinced. This is before I was paying attention. And I'm convinced there's a law that you can go back to justify anything in our government. If I had to guess, it's like
referencing, according to the Maritime, what was it called?
The Maritime Drug Enforcement
The Maritime
Act.
Drug Enforcement Law of 1986. We're going to start blowing up people.
Well, a big, beautiful law. It's big,
just,
beautiful
you can just point back to it. No matter what you do, there's a law that you can reference.
The other shoe to drop, though.
All right.
It was authored.
That would be a flipper. But anyway, go ahead.
It was authored by Chuck Schumer.
That's beautiful.
So, he's using a Chuck Schumer law to blow these boats out of the water.
Oh, that's great.
Wait, what's the name of the law again?
The Maritime Drug Law Enforcement Act of 1986.
All right.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I was for it strongly. Yes.
I think Don Johnson was in charge of the Drug Enforcement Agency at the time.
He might have been.
Yeah.
The House passed a bill that's called the Protect Children's Innocent Act on Wednesday. It was authored by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, and it would make it a Class C felony. To treat minors.
A Class C felony? I've never heard that before.
Class C.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, sorry.
I misunderstood.
Class C felony. To treat minors with gender dysphoria with any kind of mutilation surgeries or puberty blockers. It makes it illegal. It makes it a felony. They will arrest you as a doctor if you're prescribing either surgeries or. Any kind of drugs for these kids. Yes. A good move. They're unsure whether the Senate will pick it up, Tony, but it seems like on any other day, any other administration, this would be a huge piece of news. It's kind of being overlooked right now.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that these laws are at least being voted on and passed. That's a good sign. It still shows that the trajectory is going in the right direction. It means it's a rejection of this transgender ideology and the targeting of children for these life altering catastrophic surgeries that just does untold damage to them mentally and physically, obviously. So I'm encouraged to see that. Like you said, Steve, I don't know whether it'll make it past the Senate or not, but
it's unlikely to get the 60 votes needed.
Right.
But I tell you, to your point, Tony, what this means is that Speaker Johnson still has a pretty good hold on keeping a very narrowly divided House together. He's doing an excellent job of shepherding some of this stuff through. A bill like this, it passed. I have
I was going to look up the numbers.
216 to 211. So it just passed by 5 votes.
You're okay.
Still talking about the maritime vote?
No.
I had to step out for a minute.
That's okay. That was even closer. We're talking about the Protect Children's Innocence Act.
Okay.
That makes it a felony to any kind of transgender medicine or surgeries on children.
If there was ever a slam dunk, this is it.
Yeah, exactly, Ray.
It ought to be more than a felony. It ought to be a public hanging.
I agree. Huh?
You're not opposed to that?
Yeah.
Anybody that would mess with children in that fashion is that's horrible.
I think it just 216 to 211, just a razor thin vote. That's almost a party line vote. I'm guessing.
It is a party.
The fact that Democrats still. Are they're going to die on this hill? This is a hill they're going to die on. The fact that they are still voting against something like this to protect children is mind-boggling. But I guess they're in too deep at this point.
Yeah, the Democrat Party as a whole, not every single one of them, but Fetterman, so there's a couple of them, they are all sold out to the transgendered movement. Okay, they wholeheartedly believe in that. So they believe that you should be able to give children puberty blockers. Mm. I mean, genital surgeries, and oftentimes without even parental consent, they would say. It's evil, it's wicked,
demonic.
And it's one of the big issues that the Democrats, when they lose races, they lose on these kinds of things.
Well, and it's being rejected, you know, it's being rejected in polling across the nation.
Right,
it's being
right.
rejected at the state level.
Right.
You know, even at the federal
not
level.
Not to mention the women in sports.
And yeah, I don't understand it, but.
You know, it's a smart political move. I would guess, Ray, that the Democrats would prefer that this not even be brought up, that we just ignore it. I think that Johnson bringing this up is kind of keep putting it in their face, right?
Well, look. The minimum that needs to happen here, Steve, is it needs to go to the Senate, and let's put everybody on the record, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's okay, so maybe you don't get 60, maybe you get 52, 53. Mm-hmm. Let's force the Democrats to take a stand on this issue, because this is one where the country is in favor of protecting our children.
Right.
And so force the Democrats, you know, smoke them out, get them out of the shadows, let them take a stand on this issue.
Mm. I agree.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issue is the name of the show. Tim and Tony, Tony Vitagliano, join me today with Ray Pritchard and Steve Paisley Jordahl. Next story, Steve.
It's been fascinating to see the reaction to this Vanity Fair hit piece that came out. Did you guys talk about this at all in the first hour? Vanity Fair piece?
No.
Vanity Fair, Susie Wiles, the chief of staff to President Donald Trump, and some people say the only person holding a rein on this man, granted an interview to Vanity Fair. It has never worked out well for conservatives when this has happened. I don't know why they did it. They may have learned a lesson not to, but it's been fascinating to see the reaction. So I want to play you a montage of how you would imagine that the liberal news media and people like The View are just using this with glee. Let's listen to what they have to say. This is The View, Stephen Colbert and Chris Hayes having a field day with this, cut 11.
Sounds like the adult in the room.
Yes, she is the adult.
Well, then why does the toddler in chief have the nuclear code?
Vanity Fair, I mean,
they did
those people wrong, man. Maybe they're doing the Lord's work.
I like to remind all of you that you're not crazy. What's happening is crazy. In the pages of Vanity Fair, they confirmed it. Who's they? Them's is. The crazies.
Boy, doesn't that just encapsulate the entire mentality of all the groupies and the hangers-on, all the facilitators and enablers around him in MAGA?
It's interesting. So the administration has been playing this, like, leaning into this, actually. Nobody seems to be too upset. As one example, the photography that they use, they pick the most unflattering pictures of all of these people they could possibly find and put them up in the article to make them look really stupid. One of the pictures of Marco Rubio standing in a room from the side, and he's kind of leaning over looking pensive. It's not a very good picture. Marco Rubio has made this now his official Twitter picture.
So listen, this was a story. Whoever at the White House had the bright idea of granting an interview with photographs, sit-down photographs for Vanity Fair, a lefty magazine, that's a terrible idea from its inception. So I don't have any sympathy for them.
They're not wanting sympathy. They want to play into it.
I don't have any sympathy for them, and I don't think that they want any. I viewed what Susie Wiles said. She's the chief of staff, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As basically, this was sort of a. They turned it into sort of a spoof on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they are making it, But if anybody really expected Vanity Fair to give President Trump and his administration a fair shake on an interview, then you're naive,
right?
Beyond measure.
Dana Perino was one of those spokespeople for President George W. Bush, and she has a story about her. They did this to her. Listen to what she has to say. Cut 12.
I had my own little lesson in Vanity Fair PR in 2006. I was convinced by a writer of Vanity Fair that Karl Rove had never been given a fair shake and that he was going to take a fresh look. And so I went to Dan Bartlett, the head of communications, and said, is it cool if I work on this? Because I really think I think I could really do a good job. And he was like, yeah, knock yourself out. Well, we pulled out all the stops, everything possible for this reporter. And it was the meanest piece I've ever read in my life with the worst photograph. And I was under my desk in a fetal position, just like...
You were standing.
Learn your lesson. Exactly. If you are a Republican politician, you are not going to get the glossy treatment that some people might think they deserve, but you're never going to get it. You would have to do it yourself. Vanity Fair, the clue is in the name.
Trump knows this. Trump called them fake media. That's one of the things that caught on back in the... Yeah. His first time around. Anyway, next story. What's story?
The leftists continue to protest ICE wherever they are. And in fact, they're starting to protest things that aren't ICE because they can't tell the difference. They're not smart enough to tell the difference. Dateline New Orleans. The Internet Crimes Against Children Division of the Justice Department was out in the streets making some arrests. And the brilliant minds on the left decided that they looked like ICE, so there must be ICE. And they recorded themselves confronting these people. Let's listen to Cut 14.
We know who you are. So ICE, Border Patrol,
we're not ICE,
Louisiana.
Internet crimes against children. We hunt online predators.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I don't really buy that. No, thanks.
Yeah.
They have what? Online predators with all of you in tinted windows?
We don't respect whatever you do.
Okay. Well, we have job predators, so.
Right.
We don't believe you. They're not at Bromart at noon on a Wednesday.
In tinted windows.
Friday.
You'll see the article tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
We'll see it too.
Bye.
A child predator wouldn't be out eating at a restaurant at noon?
it's
You had tinted windows, so we don't believe you? Oh, man.
Right. I don't know. The brain. There's a lot of people whose brains are broken. Trump has broken them. And you lose the ability, when you're driven by ideological hate, you lose the ability to think rationally. And you lose the ability, one of the worst parts of it, in my opinion, you lose the ability to recant or... go back on something you've committed to doing or saying, right? There's a lack of humility.
Same thing with the Dems and the sex, the transgender thing.
Yeah. You lose the ability to simply say, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? That is worthy cause. Yeah, so please continue what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing.
Exactly. They were saying they were from the internet. They're trying to find people who are trafficking children or kiddie porn or that kind of thing. Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
So that's what they were there for, to try to find that person or arrest that person, not to. But even if they were ICE, you know, the fact that people, ICE is, they're arresting people around the country who are here illegally, and most of the time they've committed some kind of acts of criminal activity. So they're doing the public a service, and they're being demonized by the media and the people on the left and the Democrats. Next story.
Along the same lines, we've had a sighting of Code Pink. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessel.
They're back in business?
They're back. Well, there's a Republican president. They disappeared during a Democrat administration. It's funny. And then as soon as the Republicans show up again in the White House, there's Code
Pink.
Who
are they for those who have forgotten?
Code Pink started back in the Bush administration, and they were they're leftist Democrats, and protesters. And I think, it was abortion.
They're pro-choice to the hilt, and they... That's what started.
It was also maybe the war in Iraq. I think also the weapons of mass destruction, maybe. But anyway, they show anything now to take down the administration. And Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was having dinner with his wife in a Washington, D.C. restaurant, and they showed up, and this is what happened. Cut 15.
We have a special guest here, and we want to make a toast for the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent.
Oh, yeah.
So let's give it up for the man who is eating in peace as people starve across the world based on his sanctions, which are economic warfare.
Of course you're going to boo this. It's the truth.
He oversees the death of 600,000 people due to sanctions annually. And this president, let's cheer to the Monroe Doctrine.
Okay.
Trump today said that Venezuelan oil.
All right. Now, pass the fried mushrooms. Okay.
Okay. Where did this happen?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying? Whoever the manager is of that restaurant needs to explain themselves or be fired. You can't. I don't know. We're all just wondering, how does this happen?
Where was the Secret Service?
You get a microphone in the middle of people having dinner at a restaurant and start yelling stuff. I mean, that's just.
Yeah, they show up in pink. I mean, there's your.
There's your sign right there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's you know something's gonna be gonna be off.
We got probably time for one more story.
All right, Steve. Let's talk about cookies.
All right, let's do it.
All right, yeah. So the Target has published a map of which states are in favor of the favorite Christmas cookies. 76% of U.S. states describe gingerbread cookies as 38 states. Gingerbread cookies as their most favorite Christmas cookie.
Yeah.
In 8 states, Delaware, Hawaii, Idaho, Massachusetts, New York, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming, it's sugar cookies.
Okay.
And it's shortbread in Kansas, Maine, Montana, and New Jersey.
Ray, what's your favorite Christmas cookie there?
Well, look, first of all, in Kansas, shortbread, good. I'm totally good with that. My personal favorite, first of all, is gingerbread. That's a house. Is Steve? Yeah, that's a house, right? Do they make gingerbread cookies?
Yeah, the gingerbread man. You ever heard about the gingerbread man?
Okay, I guess that's right. Sure.
Kids decorate the gingerbread.
Right, that's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Speaking of making cookies, my wife texted me and said our 41-and-a-half-year-old mixer broke last night, so we need to go to Walmart and get a new one.
She's been listening about how to make peanut butter. So that's what.
Would that qualify as a Christmas gift?
No, I don't think so.
Not in a million
years.
But
you know what? A mixer that lasts 41 and a half years.
That's a pretty good mixer.
We don't use it all the time.
They don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah.
The next one you buy is going to last 41 days.
If I email the company, if they're still in existence, and told them we got a mixer that lasts 41, they might come do it.
You know.
Might give us a free one.
Car companies have done that before. My car went to a million miles, and they'll award you a new car.
4-decade-old mixer. Steve, you got one of those?
Oh, yeah. I've got a Cuisinart, and they are good.
A what?
A Cuisinart.
You need to go buy one. This is going to be the last mixer you're ever going to have to buy, right?
Yep.
Can't take it with you.
Oh, that's right.
That's kind of sobering. Thank you for that, Ray.
40 years is a long time.
Hey, if I were a pharaoh, they'd be finding a mixer 2,000 years from now.
That's right.
Buried next to me. Huh? I thought I could take it to the afterlife.
That's right.
KitchenAid. I'm wrong. It's KitchenAid, not Cuisinart. KitchenAid. Okay.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah, that's the good one.
All right. You gave him a free advertisement right there.
There you go.
You vouch for him.
I expect a mixer in the mail.
All right. All right. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ray, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
My thanks to Adam Suttis and Cole Green and Alex McFarland and Fred Jackson. I don't think that's everybody that was on the show today. Thanks for listening to Trivia Fridays tomorrow, so we'll see you back here then.